Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Trip to Echo Spring on Writers and Drinking is Olivia Lyng's literary nonfiction study of alcohol, creativity, and damage in 20th century American writing. Part literary biography, part travel book, and part personal reflection, it follows six writers whose reputations are entangled with heavy drinking: F. Scott Fitzgerald, Ernest Hemingway, Tennessee Williams, John Berryman, John Cheever, and Raymond Carver. Lyng travels through places associated with their lives, including New York, New Orleans, Key West, St. Nadia, Hall, and the Pacific Northwest, using geography as a way to examine addiction as lived experience rather than as legend. The book asks why alcohol has so often been treated as a companion to artistic production, while also showing how it contributed to fear, illness, broken relationships, and premature decline. Its purpose is not to diagnose these writers from a distance, but to dismantle the romance of the alcoholic genius through biography, criticism, and humane attention. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the book dismantles the myth of the alcoholic literary genius. Lyng begins from a familiar cultural image, the brilliant writer who drinks because intensity, originality, and self-destruction seem to belong together. The Trip to Echo Spring treats that image as seductive but misleading. Fitzgerald, Hemingway, Williams, Berryman, Cheever, and Carver all produced major work while living with alcohol problems. Yet Lyng does not present drinking as the source of their achievement. Instead, she shows how the mythology often reverses cause and effect. Alcohol may appear to lower inhibition, ease social fear, or create a temporary sense of fluency. But sustained dependence damages the conditions under which writing becomes possible: memory, discipline, relationships, health, and emotional stability. This argument matters because literary culture has often turned suffering into an aesthetic credential. Lyng separates the work from the legend without diminishing either. She recognizes the force of the writing while refusing to confuse artistic intensity with the chemical and psychological realities of addiction. The result is a critique of a glamorous story that has often hidden physical collapse, domestic pain, and mental distress. Secondly, Lyng uses travel to create a geography of addiction. The structure of the book is central to its argument. Rather than write a conventional group biography, Lyng moves through the American landscapes associated with her subjects: Hemingway in Key West, Williams in New Orleans, Fitzgerald and Berryman in St. Kitts, Hall, Cheever in the New York orbit, and Carver in the Pacific Northwest. This journey gives the book a psychogeographical method, where place becomes a way of organizing emotional and biographical knowledge. Hotels, bars, houses, campuses, and roads are not decorative settings. They help Lyng consider how drinking patterns are embedded in routines, climates, social circles, and private escape routes. The travel element also prevents the book from becoming a static catalog of decline. It allows Lyng to move between archival evidence, literary interpretation, and present tense observation. The physical movement across America mirrors the stages she traces in alcoholism, from exhilaration and social belonging to panic, repetition, treatment, and in Carver's case, recovery. This method makes addiction visible as a lived map rather than a single moral failing or medical category. Thirdly, the six writers are linked through influence, rivalry, and shared damage. Lyng's choice of writers is not random. Fitzgerald, Hemingway, Williams, Berryman, Cheever, and Carver form an overlapping literary network shaped by admiration, rivalry, inheritance, and historical proximity. Fitzgerald and Hemingway are often paired through modernist fame and personal connection. Williams dramatized desire, shame, and escape in ways that make alcohol more than a biographical detail. Berryman brought psychological torment into poetry with unusual exposure. Cheever cultivated public respectability while struggling privately. Carver became a crucial figure because his later sobriety complicates the idea that alcohol is inseparable from art. By placing these lives beside one another, Lyng shows repetition without reducing them to the same story. Each man used alcohol differently and suffered differently. Yet similar patterns emerge: anxiety, concealment, damaged intimacy, medical crisis, and the need to perform masculinity under pressure. The group portrait also reveals how literary reputation can protect destructive behavior from scrutiny. Drinking becomes part of a public persona, which can delay recognition of its costs. Lyng's comparative method makes the pattern harder to sentimentalize. Fourthly, the book connects alcohol to anxiety, relief, and worsening mental distress. One of the strongest aspects of The Trip to Echo Spring is its attention to alcohol as both a perceived solution and a worsening force. Lyng does not treat drinking simply as recklessness. She's interested in why it becomes useful to people who are frightened, socially exposed, depressed, or unable to regulate distress. Alcohol can produce short-term sedation and a temporary softening of fear, which helps explain its appeal for writers who face public scrutiny, emotional volatility, or inner panic, but the relief is unstable. Dependence often intensifies the very conditions it seems to manage, creating cycles of anxiety, shame, withdrawal, and renewed drinking. Lange draws on scientific and psychological explanation without turning the book into clinical instruction. The point is interpretive. The writer at the bar is not only pursuing pleasure or rebellion, but often seeking emergency relief from unbearable states of mind. This gives the book its moral seriousness. It avoids both condemnation and glamour by showing addiction as a trap built from real relief that becomes increasingly destructive. Lastly, personal history gives the criticism emotional authority without taking over the book. Lange includes elements of her own experience of growing up around alcoholism. And this autobiographical strand affects the tone of the whole book. It helps explain why she approaches famous writers not as distant legends, but as people whose drinking harmed themselves and others. Her personal perspective gives the analysis urgency, especially when she considers the families, partners, and children who live in the shadow of addiction. At the same time, the memoir element remains integrated with biography and travel rather than replacing them. Its function is not confession for its own sake, but a reminder that alcoholism is not merely a literary motif. It is a domestic, bodily, and emotional reality. This matters because the writers she studies were often protected by fame, charisma, and posthumous admiration. Lange's personal awareness keeps attention on consequences that literary history can smooth over. The book, therefore, occupies a careful position, intimate enough to resist academic detachment, but researched and critical enough to avoid becoming only a private response to famous lives. In conclusion, The Trip to Echo Spring is especially suited to readers interested in literary biography, addiction studies, creative work, and the cultural history of modern American writing. It will appeal to those who know the works of Fitzgerald, Hemingway, Williams, Berryman, Cheever, or Carver, but prior expertise is not required because Lange explains the biographical and literary connections with clarity. The book offers intellectual value by challenging the persistent belief that self-destruction is somehow necessary to artistic greatness. It also offers practical insight for readers who want to understand addiction as a pattern of relief, dependency, concealment, and consequence rather than as a simple failure of will. Compared with many biographies of alcoholic writers, it stands out because it is not confined to one life and not limited to literary criticism. Its combination of travel narrative, group biography, psychological inquiry, and personal memory gives it a distinctive shape. Lange is attentive to style and landscape, but she does not let beauty soften the seriousness of the subject. The book is most valuable for readers who want a thoughtful account of how art can emerge from damaged lives without turning that damage into a requirement, an excuse, or a romantic ideal. If you would like to support Olivia Lange, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.